Have you ever really stopped to think about what's going on inside your body when you just move, like taking a step or reaching for something?
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Not just muscles firing, but this whole intricate dance, a real marvel of engineering.
Exactly. But how much do we actually understand about the blueprint for all that movement?
Well, that's what we're diving into today.
Yeah, we're doing a deep dive into the real basics of human movement, sort of a shortcut to understanding how your body is actually designed to move. We're pulling from what pros learn in like an ABC course anatomy, biomechanics, cueing. Our goal here is really to unlock the language of movement, to see how knowing this stuff can help you, well, move better, easier, more efficiently, maybe even find things your body can do that you didn't realize.
And it's not just for fitness experts or athletes.
No, not at all. It's for anyone who's just curious about this amazing machine we all live in.
Yeah, and what's really eye-opening is how understanding these fundamental principles can genuinely change how you relate to your own body. Well, it helps you appreciate how you move, sure, but also maybe why things sometimes feel a bit off or painful. And then how to maybe get back to moving more harmoniously, whether that's just feeling better day to day or really pushing your athletic limits.
Right, finding that harmony. That's the aim. And I guess to do that, we need to start with the real basics, the building blocks.
Exactly. Like building anything, you need a foundation, a framework.
So the bones.
The bones, they're the rigid structure, the scaffolding that everything else attaches to. They hold us up, yeah, but they're also the levers. Muscles pull on them to create movement.
Okay, so bones are the frame.
Yeah.
Then the muscles, they're
Yeah.
the engines, right? The power.
Precisely. Muscles are these incredible tissues that contract, they shorten and generate force, they attach to the bones, pull on those levers, and boom, movement. Their strength, their flexibility, that's what lets us do, well, everything.
Yeah.
Lifting things, walking, running, all the amazing stuff we can do.
It's their pull that animates the skeleton.
You got.
Okay, so bones, muscles, they need to connect somewhere. That's the joints.
That's where joints come in. Those intersections where two or more bones meet and articulate, move against each other. And a really key thing with joints is this constant trade-off, mobility versus stability.
Explain that a bit.
Well, think about your shoulder joint. Huge range of motion, right? You can move your arm all over the place. But that mobility makes it less inherently stable, potentially more prone to dislocation than, say, your elbow. Or compare that to the small joints between your vertebrae and your spine. Less movement individually, but together they give you flexibility and support. So each joint is kind of specialized, balancing how much it needs to move versus how much it needs to hold steady.
It really is smart design. Okay, so those are the big three: bones, muscles, joints. But there's more going on, right? This whole network of other
Oh,
tissue.
absolutely. The supporting cast, you could say. And they're crucial, like tendons and ligaments. People often mix these up.
Yeah, I do sometimes. What's the difference again?
Okay, simple way to remember. Tendons connect tough muscle to bone. They transmit the muscle's pulling force. Think of them like strong ropes.
Muscle to bone. Got it.
And ligaments link bone to bone. They're more like sturdy straps that stabilize the joint, limiting excessive movement.
Bone to bone. Okay, TMB, LBB, that helps. What about cartilage? We hear about that in knees a lot.
Right. Cartilage is that smooth, tough, flexible stuff that covers the ends of bones in many joints. It reduces friction, absorbs shock, super important for smooth, pain-free movement. But it's also, kind of surprisingly, what gives structure to your nose and ears. Shows how versatile it is. Flexible support where you need it.
Never thought about my ear cartilage that way. Okay, and then there's fascia. This seems to be a really hot topic lately.
Oh, fascia's huge. It's really changing how we view the body. It's basically this three-dimensional web of connective tissue.
A web.
Yeah, it wraps around everything. Individual muscles, groups of muscles, blood vessels, nerves, organs. It's continuous throughout the body.
Wow, what does it do?
Lots of things. It helps maintain the body's shape, separates structures, but also connects them, allows things to slide past each other. It stabilizes, transmits forces. And here's a key thing. It's highly innervated.
Meaning lots of nerve.
Exactly. Packed with nerve endings. Which means it's not just passive wrapping. It's acting like a sensory organ, contributing to proprioception, your sense of where your body is in space, and maybe even how we perceive pain. It's a real communication network.
So it's talking back to the brain, essentially.
In a way, yes. It's providing constant feedback. Understanding fascia is really shifting approaches in therapy and training.
Fascinating. Okay, so we have this amazing structure, but Joints need to move smoothly. Are there specific things for that?
Definitely. Inside many joints, particularly the freely movable ones called synovial joints, you have synovial fluid.
Like oil.
Exactly like oil. It's this viscous fluid that lubricates the joint surfaces, cutting down friction, allowing that smooth glide.
Makes sense.
Then you also have bursae. These are little fluid-filled sacs. Think of them as tiny cushions placed in areas where things might rub together, like a tendon moving over a bone.
Mm-hmm.
They reduce that friction.
Like tiny water balloons protecting things.
Sort of, yeah. And then some joints have even more specialized parts. Your knee, for example, has the meniscus.
Right. Hear about meniscus tears a lot in sports.
Yeah, they're these C-shaped wedges of tough fibrocartilage. They do a few jobs. Improve the fit between the bones, increase stability, help spread forces across the joint, absorb shock, and even help with lubrication.
Multitaskers.
Totally. And similarly, in joints like your hip or shoulder, you have a labrum. It's a ring of cartilage around the edge of the socket.
What does that do?
It basically deepens the socket, making the joint more stable without restricting its movement too much. Helps keep the ball part of the joint securely in place.
Okay, I have to say, thinking about all these tiny specific parts, the fluid, the sacs, the rings of cartilage, the fascia web, all working together, it's kind of mind-blowing.
It really is. Every single movement, even just blinking, involves this incredible coordination.
It's not just parts, it's a system, a symphony.
That's a great way to put it. And connecting it to the bigger picture, it's this whole intricate setup that allows us to do everything from simple daily tasks without pain to, you know, incredible athletic achievements if one piece is off.
The whole symphony faltered.
Exactly. That's why understanding these building blocks is so key.
Okay, so to talk about this symphony properly, especially for professionals, we need a shared language, right? That's where the anatomical terms come in.
Absolutely. Precision is everything. Imagine trying to discuss a specific muscle injury or correct someone's exercise form without exact terms. It'd be chaos.
Like trying to give directions without street names.
Perfect analogy. These terms are the body's GPS. They ensure everyone, doctors, therapists, trainers, is talking about the exact same location or movement. No ambiguity.
But you wouldn't necessarily use all this jargon with, say, a client you're training.
Generally, no. You adapt your language. These precise terms are mainly for professional communication. With a client, you'd usually use simpler, more relatable cues. But the understanding behind those cues comes from this precise language.
Okay, that makes sense. So the foundation of this language is anatomical neutral. What is that exactly?
Anatomical neutral is the universal reference point, the starting position. Imagine standing tall, feet together, arms hanging at your sides. And here's the key detail often missed. Palms facing forward.
Ah, palms forward, right.
That specific stance is our agreed-upon zero point. Every direction, every movement, every description of posture is relative to that position.
Got it. So all the directional terms build off that. Let's run through them. Superior and inferior.
Superior means towards the head end, sometimes called cranial. Inferior means towards the feet or tail end, sometimes called caudal.
Okay. Headward and feetward.
And importantly, these are fixed relative to the body, not gravity. Your head is always superior to your neck, even if you're doing a handstand.
Right. Okay. That clarifies things. What about anterior and posterior?
Anterior means towards the front of the body. Think of your quads, your abs. They're anterior, sometimes called ventral, especially for internal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Posterior means towards the back. Your hamstrings, your back muscles, your glutes, they're posterior, sometimes called dorsal, like a shark's dorsal fin is on its back.
Good visual. And speaking of specific areas, palmar and plantar.
Yep. These are just for hands and feet. Palmar is the palm side of your hand. Plantar is the sole of your foot.
Yeah.
Helps avoid confusion.
Simple enough. Now, the ones that always trip me up a little, distal and proximal.
Yes. The key here is they're always relative terms.
Relative to what?
Usually relative to the center of the body or the point where a limb attaches. Proximal means closer to that center point or attachment. Distal means further away.
Okay, so an example.
Your elbow is distal to your shoulder,
yeah,
further away from the trunk, but it's proximal to your wrist, closer to the trunk.
Ah, okay, so it depends on what you're comparing it to.
Exactly. It's crucial for describing things accurately along a limb.
Got it. Makes more sense now. How about medial and lateral?
These relate to the midline of the body. Imagine a line running straight down your center. Medial means towards that midline. Lateral means away from that midline.
So my belly button is medial.
Right. And your shoulder is lateral to your sternum. Or your big toe is on the medial side of your foot. Your pinky toe is on the lateral side.
Okay. Towards the middle, away from the middle. Clear. Last pair. Deep, superficial and intermediate.
These describe depth relative to the body's surface. Superficial means closer to the surface, like your skin.
Right.
Deep means further away from the surface, like your bones or internal organs.
Okay.
And intermediate just means something is between a superficial structure and a deep structure. Like layers of muscle, one might be intermediate relative to the skin and the bone beneath it.
So it's all about layers. Skin, muscle, bone. Superficial, intermediate, deep.
You got it.
Wow. Okay, so putting it all together, this detailed terminology gives us that universal GPS for the body. We can pinpoint anything, describe any location accurately.
And think about it, without that shared map, how could professionals effectively diagnose problems, communicate treatment plans, or even just discuss research findings?
Right.
It's absolutely fundamental for clear, safe, and effective work in any field dealing with the human body and movement.
Right. Critical for communication. Okay, so we know the parts and how to describe where they are. Now, how about how they move? The geometry of it all. Planes of motion.
Exactly. We generally think of movement happening in three primary dimensions, or planes. Imagine slicing the body with invisible sheets of glass.
Okay, cool. Visual. What's the first one?
The sagittal plane. This divides the body vertically into right and left sections.
Right down the middle.
Mm-hmm. Movements in this plane are primarily forward and backward. Yeah. Flexion, bending, and extension. Straightening. So bending forward, walking, running, doing a bicep curl. Those are mostly sagittal plane movements.
Gotcha. Forward and back. Next.
The coronal plane, sometimes called the frontal plane. This divides the body vertically into front and back sections.
Side to side slice.
Right. Movements here are mainly side to side. Abduction, moving a limb away from the midline, and adduction, moving towards the midline. Think jumping jacks, lifting your arm straight out to the side, doing a side bend.
Okay. Abduction, adduction, side movements, and the last plane.
The transverse plane. This divides the body horizontally into top and bottom sections.
Cut in half at the waist.
Exactly. Movements in this plane are rotational. Rotation, turning your head side to side, twisting your torso, rotating your arm inwards or outwards.
Like doing the twist.
Pretty much. Those three planes cover the fundamental dimensions of our movement.
Understanding those planes really helps visualize how movements happen, doesn't it?
Mm.
And how maybe some exercises focus on one plane more than others.
Absolutely. It helps in analyzing movement and in showing balanced training. We also have some standard body positions we use as reference points.
Right, like supine and prone.
Yep. Supine is lying on your back, face up.
Mm-hmm.
Prone is lying on your stomach, face down.
Easy enough.
Then you have the obvious ones, side lying, sitting, standing, kneeling. And one often used in exercises is all fours or quadruped.
Hands and knees.
Exactly. Weight balance between hands and knees on the floor.
Okay. Now, here's a distinction I find really interesting and important. The difference between neutral and natural. They sound similar, but they're not the same, are they?
Not at all. This is such a key concept.
Mm-hmm.
Neutral refers to an optimal anatomical alignment. It's where your joints are positioned for maximum efficiency and minimum stress. Think good posture, balanced muscles.
The ideal state, biomechanically speaking.
Precisely. Natural, on the other hand. That just describes how you habitually hold yourself, how you stand or sit without thinking about it.
And that might not be optimal.
Often it's not. Our natural posture can be shaped by years of habit, maybe old injuries, how we sit at a desk, all sorts of things. It can actually be quite far from true neutral alignment.
So what feels normal or natural to someone might actually be putting strain on their body.
Absolutely. And this is the kicker. When someone is first guided into a truly neutral position, say neutral spine alignment, it often feels really weird, anything but natural.
Because their body isn't used to it.
Exactly. Their muscles and connective tissues have adapted to their habitual, maybe less than ideal, posture. Moving towards neutral takes conscious effort and practice. It's retraining the body.
That's a huge insight. What feels comfortable isn't always what's best. We have to sometimes unlearn our natural to find our neutral.
Well said. It highlights the difference between habit and optimal function. Aiming for neutral, even if it feels odd initially, is often key to long-term joint health and moving well.
Okay, really powerful distinction there. Moving on from positions, let's talk about how limbs move together, patterns of motion.
Right. These describe the coordination between different body parts. First, unilateral movement.
Uni meaning one.
Yep. Only one side of the body is moving, or one limb, like lifting just your right arm or doing a lunge with just your left leg forward.
Okay, one-sided.
Then contralateral movement. This is movement on opposite sides of the body working together.
Like walking.
Exactly. When you walk or run, Typically, your left arm swings forward as your right leg steps forward, and vice versa. It's this cross-body pattern, super efficient for balance and propulsion.
Opposite arm and leg. Makes sense. What about reciprocal movement?
Reciprocal means both arms or both legs are moving at the same time, but in opposite directions relative to each other.
Hmm, like?
Think of alternating bicep curls. As one arm is flexing and bending, the other is extending, straightening, or pedaling a bike. It's that back and forth opposing action.
Yeah, okay. Continuous opposite motion. Got it. Then bilateral movement.
Bilateral means both sides are doing the same thing at the same time. Bi means two.
Like a squat, both legs working together.
Perfect example. Mm-hmm. Or doing jumping jacks, where both arms go up and out together, both legs go out together. Or a push-up. Same motion, both sides.
Okay. And the last one, ipsilateral movement.
Ipsilateral means movement on the same side of the body. Ipsa means same.
So like lifting my right arm and right leg at the same time?
Exactly. It feels a bit less coordinated for most people than contralateral movement, but it shows up in certain specific activities or exercises designed to challenge stability.
Okay, unilateral, contralateral, reciprocal, bilateral, ipsilateral. So why is understanding these patterns useful?
Well, these aren't just abstract terms. They describe the fundamental ways our bodies coordinate movement. Recognizing these patterns helps us analyze how efficiently someone is moving.
Right.
Are they using the natural contralateral pattern when walking? Is there an imbalance in their bilateral movements? It's crucial for identifying weaknesses, improving coordination, designing effective rehab or training programs, basically helping people move better and in a more balanced way.
Optimizing the body's choreography.
Nicely put.
So we've covered a lot. From the basic building blocks, bones, muscles, joints, all that connective tissue, and the precise language to talk about them.
To the planes we move in. Those key body positions, and the different ways our limbs coordinate through these movement patterns.
It really paints a picture of this incredible, complex system.
And the whole point of digging into this, the so what, is really about gaining that deeper insight, understanding the how and the why behind your body's movement.
It's not just knowledge for knowledge's sake.
Not at all. It's practical. It empowers you to move through life with more ease, maybe less pain. Or if you're into sports or athletics, to really excel.
Hmm.
It's about adding, you know, more life to your years by understanding the vehicle you're doing it in.
That understanding lets you analyze things, spot misalignments, maybe understand why a certain cue from a trainer makes sense. It gives you agency over your own movement.
Exactly. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to your own body. This kind of foundational understanding is the first step towards really mastering your physical experience, moving beyond just what feels natural by default.
Towards what's actually neutral and optimal for your health and performance long term.
Precisely.
So here's something to think about. Now that you have this lens, this language, how might you start observing your own movements differently? Or even just watching how people around you move?
Yeah, what natural habits, maybe how you stand or sit or walk, might you notice in yourself or others? And could shifting those habits, even slightly towards neutral, make a difference?
It's a fascinating way to start appreciating and maybe even fine-tuning this incredible machine we call the human body.